gerus, which are halacha l'maisa, and since the 10-minute halacha very often is more than 10 minutes anyway, it's pretty much just a 10-minute halacha, just like a little bit longer. So let's get into that sugya on Mem Hei and Beit. So the sugya, meaning, when I started at the very sheer psich of the summer, was to tell you that we're not learning the halachas of geirim, we're learning the halachas of geirus. And just on the sheer psicha, we discuss some of the halachas of geirim. However, when you go through the sugyas of geirus, the very first sugya to hit you in the face is a sugya about geirim, not geirus. It's a sugya about how to treat a ger. So we're going to do that today, and then Be'ez Hashem, I don't think for the rest of the summer, we're going to hit on how to deal with geirim. We're going to be dealing with the process of geirus. But since it starts when you start on Memhei and Beis, and you go through Memches, the first thing you encounter is the halachic issue of srara for a ger. So I thought we would take some time to talk about that issue. So the Gemara Memhei and Beis, I'm sure many of you saw it, discussed it. It's in the context of discussing an akum ve'eved habal bas Yisrael, meaning we know it as a davar pashut that if a non-Jewish man is with a Jewish woman, that the offspring, that the child is going to be a Jew, right? That there's no question about the Judaism of that child. Well, it was not so pashut to the Gemara. It was a major discussion, major machloka. So in the context of discussing what happens when a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman have a child, so the Gemara tells a story that Rava Achshere l'Rav Mari Barachel Umanya Beporsi Debavel, that Rava allowed Rav Mari Barachel, right away something should jump out at you about that name, Rav Mari Barachel, that is not a normal way to refer to somebody in Shas. We have names of people that are called by their father's name as well in Shas. You have Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel, you have Rava Barachel, that's a bad example actually. You have Rav Huna, you have a number of examples of people who are called by their father's name, but over here you have Mari Bar Rachel, who's apparently called by his mother's name. And the reason he's called by his mother's name is, the Gemara explains in Ksubas Daf Chav Gimel, that he was captured and Isser Giyura was Boel, his mother, before Isser Giyura had converted, meaning he was a non-Jew, and that resulted in the birth of this Rav Mari. So in order to not denigrate him by calling him by his non-Jewish father's name, they called him by his mother's name. And that's why he was called Rav Mari Bar Rachel, because that's where his real Yichus was, since he was born from a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father. So the Gemara tells us that Rava allowed this Rav Mari Barachel, who was born from a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father, to marry a regular Bas Yisrael. That he was Jewish, essentially that he was Jewish. That was the Chiddush over here. Now, and not only that, and this is the point we're going to focus on, and that Umanya Beporsi Debavel, he appointed him as a gabai in charge of something in the community, meaning whatever that means, whatever Porsi is, it's some sort of srara, some sort of something, that he's in charge of something. So the Gemara continues, V'alfa gavda mermar som tas melech miker v'checha, even though we darsh in the pasuk of som tas melech miker v'checha, that kol mesim el shatamesim al yehu elo miker v'checha, that whenever you have a special appointment to a position of authority, a position of srara, it's got to dafka come miker v'checha, it has to dafka be from someone who is a native Jew. Hi, kivan dimam yisrael miker v'checha kriyin bay. He qualifies, meaning he's enough of a native Jew because his mother is Jewish. See, even though his father is a ger and his father was a guy, and therefore he's a first generation Jew in a certain sense, he's a second generation Jew from his mother's side, but he's a first generation Jew from his father's side. So you might think he's not called Mikerev Achecha, so Kamash Malan, that he's good enough, that counts as Mikerev Achecha because his mother was Jewish, and therefore they were allowed to appoint him to some sort of position of Sarara. Good, that's the Gemara. So what the Gemara is teaching us, l'chora, is that it's saying it in the context of a kula, but it's really teaching us a very important din l'chumra, that a ger is limited, that a ger is not allowed to just be whatever he wants to be within the Jewish community. He's not allowed to be appointed to a position of srara. It's only because this person doesn't really qualify as a ger. He's really a native Jew. That's why he was allowed to be appointed to such a position. Now the Rambam, in the first paragraph of Hilchos Malachim, Halacha Dalet, the Rambam writes, ein ma'amidin melech mikal gerim afilu achar kamadoros achetir imo mi Yisrael. That we don't make a melech from gerim unless his mother is mi Yisrael, unless his mother is Jewish. V'lo l'malchus bilvad, and the Rambam says, and it's not only malchus, elu l'kol sroros shabi Yisrael. Even though the pasuk is about som tas melech ha-melech, the Rambam says it's not only about a melech, it's about any position of srara. Lo sar tzva, lo sar chamishim, lo sar asara. Doesn't matter how many people he's in charge of. Afilu memuna al amas hamayim shemechad men al sadas. Even if he's just in charge of the coffee machine, you know, he's in charge of the amas hamayim that's going to be able to that people use to water their fields. Vein sarach lomar dayon or nasi shaloi hey elam yisrael. And obviously, if he's going to be a dayon or a nasi, that certainly cannot be a ger. Shenemar mikar v'chachatos melech melech. And we darsh in the word tasim kol mesimos shatamesim lo yu elam mikar v'chacha. Anytime there's an appointment of a position, so that can only be mikarev echecha. So where does Rambam get this from? So Kesa Mishnah on the side of the Rambam says that's our Gemara, that the Gemara associated the appointment of Rami Bar Rachel to some sort of other position. There was no melech at the time, to some sort of other position with this drasha of some tas melech melech. So you see clearly that it's not only about a melech; it's about any sort of position. So obviously the question we're going to have to deal with is what is the gedder of that? Meaning, what's considered a position, right? What if you're a coordinator of keli masmidim, right? So is that a mesima that that's some tas melecha, that it's such an important communal position that you can't have a ger do something like that? Yes, Eli votes yes. Meaning where exactly do we draw the line on that? Now there are a lot of other discussions to be had as well, but really there are two famous tshuvas of Moshe Feinstein over here that are very critical, and then maybe we'll talk about how this relates to women as well, not only about gerim. Rav Moshe and Gris Moshe Yardei Chelek Dalid Simon Chavav was asked about appointing a ger as a malamed or as a magidshir or a mashkiach in the yeshiva. Again, this was very relevant for us. I mean, for me in the YU Smicha program, we every once in a while a ger will apply to the YU Smicha program. Can you give a ger smicha? Normally, when you give someone smicha, it's telling him that he is now licensed to be able to be a shul rabbi. He's licensed to be able to be a rebbe or a rosh yeshiva. So can we give such a license to somebody who's a ger? So Rav Moshe was asked not about a shul rabbi, but he was asked about a malamed, a magid shir, a mashkiach in yeshiva. So the Shoel wanted to bring a raya from Shmaya Naftalion, that Shmaya Naftalion were b'nei banav shal sancheriv, and they were malami Torah b'rabim. So apparently there's nothing to prevent a ben gerim from being a rosh yeshiva, because Shmaya and Naftalion were leaders of the community. So Moshe says, we don't know the exact yichus of Shmaya and Naftalion. It could be that they were imam Yisrael. I mean, it could be that their mother was Jewish. It's just that they were a few generations removed from... there were a few generations. What just happened over here? That there were a few generations removed from their ancestor who was not Jewish. Now the impression you do get from the Mishnayos is that they were pretty close to being, meaning that they were gerim themselves. The Mishnayos tell us in Maseches Idios that. I think it's about Shmaya v'Avtalion. The Mishnayos say that they quote from Shmaya v'Avtalion that Malei Hin Mayim, something about the Hilchos Mikvaos, about a Malei Hin Mayim. So the Mishnah says that it calls it, you know, the word hin is a measure, right? It's a certain type of measure. So if I were to say, let's say, a gallon, so I have to say a full gallon? Just say a gallon, right? Why do you have to say a full gallon? And the Mishnah says, malei hin. It doesn't say hin. So the Mishnah says that the reason it says malei hin is because chayav adam lomar b'lashon rabo. That you have to say things in the way that your Rebbe said them. And when Shmaya v'Avtalion taught that halacha, they always used the word malei. They didn't just say the word hin, they said malei hin. So the Mefarshim and the Mishnayos explain, well, why? Why would they do that? Meaning, why? Normally, there's the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim tells us that l'ol milamid adam l'talmidah b'derech k'tzara. You're always supposed to speak in as concise a way as possible. You're not supposed to just throw in extra words. You're not supposed to be redundant. that you're not supposed to say things multiple times. You shouldn't keep repeating yourself. Can I see what I just did over there? So why would you throw in that extra word male when you're saying hin mayim? So the mefarshim on the side of the Mishnayos explain that Shmaya and Naftali were gerim, and they therefore had trouble pronouncing the letter hey. So when they would say hin, so first of all, probably because we mispronounce the letter hey, right? Probably hey is a little closer to ches is a little closer to a hey. You know, we have them as very different sounds. They ever hear like a Sephardi, you know, like a real heavy Sephardi pronunciation? But whatever. But Shmaya v'Avtalim, because they were Gerim, wherever they came from, they had trouble pronouncing the letter hey, and therefore when they said hin, it sounded like in. So they said in mayim, and no one had any clue what they're talking about. So sometimes, in order to compensate for an accent, you need to add in explanatory words around it, so that people will figure out from context what you're actually talking about. So when they taught this halacha about mikvaos and about a hin mayim, they couldn't say in mayim because everyone would have said yes, water. Is that what in mayim? Like, well, what are you talking about? So they had to say mali in mayim. You know, a full in. Oh, it must be that they're referring to a hin. And then when their talmidim would quote them, their talmidim would have to use that language because chayav adam lomar belashon rabo. I remember Rav Shachter once when he was quoting Rav Salvechik, he imitated Rav Salvechik's accent, and then he said chayav adam lomar belashon rabo. So it's actually machlokas in the mefarshim and the mishnayos over there when the talmidim quoted Shmaya v'Avtalim. Did they mispronounce it also? Meaning the talmidim who were native Jews and who were able to pronounce hin mayim, did they also mispronounce it? Because the Rebbe used to mispronounce it, so they have to mispronounce it also. Or they say, no, the Rebbe had a speech impediment. They don't have a speech impediment. Why would they mispronounce it? But the impression you get, all I'm saying is the impression you get from the Mishnayos is that they didn't grow up from, right? Meaning you could tell the difference between the way a ger or a bal tshuva even sometimes, who didn't grow up using certain sounds. They didn't grow up using the ches sound or the chaf sound, right? They didn't grow up with that, so everything sounds a little bit different, as opposed to someone who is a native to it, who grew up with it. So that's the impression that you get. But Ramosh says, we don't know. We don't know what Shmaya Naftalion's real yichus was. It could be that their mother was Mi'Yisrael. And also, it's difficult to prove anything from Shmaya Naftalion, because they were unquestionably the greatest gedolim of their generation. So it might have been some type of hara'a sha'a, similar to Devorah HaNeviya being a shofetes, which Tosus in Yevamos, Mem Hamid Beis, says that the reason it was okay for Devorah to be a shofetes was because it was Alpi Adib or Shaini, that it was she was appointed by God. So you want to, God's the one that makes the rules. So you can't question it. So sometimes there are exceptions to the rule, but you cannot disprove the rule because there's an exception. It's the exception that actually proves the rule. So just because Shmaya v'Avtalion were appointed to such a position doesn't mean that any ger is just allowed to be a rabbi or a Rosh Yeshiva. It just means that if the ger happens to be the Gadol Hador, if Rav Moshe Feinstein would have been a ger, so yeah, then they would have allowed him to be the Rosh Yeshiva of MTJ. But it doesn't mean that every guy who applies to Y.U. Smicha is allowed to be a Rosh Yeshiva. So Rav Moshe goes on to say that once he's made that analysis, he says, but there is a mitzvah of a Haftam Esager. And it's fascinating because he understands that part of that mitzvah of a Haftam Esager is to be able to smooth the path as much as we can for them to be able to find their place in the Jewish community in a comfortable way. And that includes trying to find kulas where they could take on more positions. Well, one could have argued that that has nothing to do with v'ahavtam es ha'ger. V'ahavtam es ha'ger means you have to treat them with dignity and with respect, but the rules are the rules. And there's an understanding, meaning that avas Yisrael doesn't mean that you have to make Yisrael feel like he could be a Kohen, right? It doesn't mean that you could change someone's yichus and elevate him to something that he's not, but Rav Moshe understands that part of the Haftam as a Ger is to try to be as makel in these inyanim as we possibly can be. And he therefore concludes that we should not treat these types of jobs as a srara, meaning Rebbe, Rosh Yeshiva, Mashkiach, because the primary purpose of a yeshiva is to teach Talmidim when they want to learn. That's what a Rebbe, a Rosh Yeshiva, that's what he's really there for. It happens to be, he's got an institution to run, so sometimes he's going to have to throw people out, sometimes he's going to have to not accept people into the institution. But that's not what it's about. Meaning, if you ever get the impression from a Rebbe or a Rosh Yeshiva that it's all about the power, that it's all about the control that he has, so run in the other direction, right? Meaning, that is not the appropriate attitude that one should have from a Rebbe or a Rosh Yeshiva. I was once talking to a friend of mine who was telling me that his kid's seventh grade Rebbe, he said, my son's seventh grade Rebbe, he's not a seventh grade Rebbe, he's the Rosh Yeshiva of the seventh grade. You know, like it's all about like controlling the Talmidim and being like, so that's not good. You don't want the Rebbe who's the Rosh Yeshiva of the seventh grade. You want someone who's interested in teaching Torah, and that's primarily what the job really is. Talmidim want to learn, and they're there to teach the Talmidim. The rights that the administration has to throw a boy out or to be limited in their acceptance policies, he says that's similar to a balabayas who has workers that work for him. That's got nothing to do with Sarah. Meaning the fact that I run a business and I may have to hire and fire people, and I may interview five people and only hire one of them, that's not Sarah, that's just because I'm running a business. So he says that the ability to throw people out of yeshiva or to accept people into yeshiva, says Rav Moshe, that's not Sarah, that's just running a business. And he says this is fundamentally different than his other tshuva. What's Rav Moshe's other tshuva? About a mashkiach kashrus. He says, can a woman be appointed as a mashkiach for kashrus? And we'll get back to that tshuva in a moment, but he says, before we discuss mashkiach kashrus, which again is another tshuva, Rav Moshe says, this is fundamentally different than a mashkiach, because a mashkiach kashrus is appointed to go against the ratzon balabayis, if need be, meaning based on the Koach HaTorah, which commands feeding only kosher food. Meaning, someone told me that they had a restaurant that was open on Pesach, and they had everything kosher for Pesach, and they had that these huge tarps covering all the chametz stuff, which was sold. Right, and at the busiest time of the day, on Chol HaMoed Pesach, one of the only restaurants that's open in the neighborhood. So obviously, whenever there's a restaurant open in the neighborhood on Pesach, everyone is there. One of those tarps came down, and like all the chametz was exposed. And the mashkiach made them stop in the middle and go and cover it and take care of it. But I have customers waiting online. They're getting angry. I can't even keep up as it is. Now you're taking all my manpower to cover up this chametz? Yeah. That's what the mashkiach has to do. Even though it's against the ratzon of the Balabayis is not happy about it. He feels like he's losing money. He feels like he's upsetting his customers. Yeah, but that's what you have to do. You have to, even to go against the ratzon of the Balabayis. That is a srara, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. Because it's based on the Koach HaTorah that you go against the Ratzon of the Balabais, and to a certain extent, the Mashkiach is God's policeman to make sure that only kosher food is being served, even if it means going against the wishes of the proprietor. That's what Mashkiach is. Now, obviously, if anyone is ever involved in Hashkacha, the relationship shouldn't be completely that, right? There should be a sense of trust and working together, and very often, most often, obviously, when you're dealing with, certainly when you're dealing with a frum store owner, but even non-frum store owners, even non-Jewish store owners, there should be this sense of partnership in wanting to provide kosher food for people, that the store owner also wants to provide kosher food for people. And there, one pizza shop owner told me that he's very grateful for the mashkichim. He said, I can't keep an eye on everything, and I don't want to serve anybody anything that's not kosher. I don't want to serve anybody anything that's questionable. But I have so many employees, they're all doing, it would be impossible for me to keep an eye on things. I'm so grateful when he chops something, when he catches something, and he stops it. I'd feel terrible if something accidentally didn't go right. But it is a srara. It is a srara. Rosh Yeshiva, by contrast, says Rav Moshe, even though he can throw his talmidim out of the yeshiva against their will, it's not mikoach haTorah. That's more like a balabayas who hires workers and can fire them. So Rav Moshe further argues that there may not be any issur for a ger to be mekabel srara. He says, there's an issur som tasim alecha melech, right? That there's an issur that you're not allowed to appoint anyone who's not mikarev achecha to Israra. But is there any Isser on his side to be Mekabel Israra? And if that's the case, then if you're not doing any appointment and he's just accepting it, maybe it's not a problem at all, even if it is a real Srara. And he says, maybe that's what happened with Shemaya Vavtalion. Maybe that's what Devorah was all about. That on account of their greatness, they just seamlessly, naturally stepped into these positions without ever needing an appointment. It was just so obvious. It's like when they asked Moshe Feinstein how he became the Gadol Hadar, right? You know this story that Moshe was interviewed by the New York Times once. I think in honor of his 80th birthday or something, the New York Times did a story on Rav Moshe. So they asked Rav Moshe, like, we're told that you're the Posek Hadar. I don't know if they use those terms, you know, those words, but like, how do you apply for that position? Like, what position do you need to hold before that in order to get to Posek Hadar? Is it like captain and lieutenant? And like, how does it work exactly till you become Posek Hadar? So he said, I don't know, I learned, and then people started asking me questions, and I gave them answers, and I guess they liked the answers, so they asked more questions. And that was it. You know, like, it was a little anticlimactic for the interviewer, but that's how, it's just like, the cream naturally rises, you know, he just naturally rose to the top. There was no position of Srora that he was appointed to, so it could be that Shmaya Vavtalion, the Nasi and the Av Basin, just was something that was natural, it was just obvious, and there was no official appointment. Now, how does this relate to women and positions of Sarah? So the Rambam writes, "Ein ma'midin isha b'malchus, v'chein kol masimu shav Yisrael ein manu behem ele ish." That not only is it a din mikarav achecha lafuke eger, but also you can't have an isha in a position of Sarah. The thing about that is that it doesn't say that anywhere in the Gemara, right? The Rambam came up with this. The Rambam tells it to us. He does not say Yira Eli, so it seems that he has some source for it, but we don't know exactly what that source is. That the same limitations that you have on a ger, you also have on an isha. The Lashon Ma'amidin, Ein Ma'amidin Isha B'Malchus, and V'chein Kol Masim Shavishol Ein Mimanim Bahem El Ish, right, the Ma'amidin Mimanim implies that the Isser is on the Pu'ulas Haminoi. Right, it is on the action of doing the appointment, not on the existence of a woman in that tafkid, or the existence of a ger in that tafkid, meaning similar to Rav Moshe's Vart. Rav Moshe said maybe it's no isser on the recipient, it's only an isser on doing it, on making the appointment. But maybe there's no isser on being the one who is appointed. And in that sense, it could be. It's not so posh that Isha and Eger, meaning that Isha and Eger are exactly the same. I mean, if you look in the Rambam's Lashon in Halacha Dalet, which is about the Ger, it's Ein Ma'amidin Melech Mikal Gerim. Then he says Va'afilu Mimuna Al Amasamayim. Va'afilu Mimuna Al Amasamayim. Then he says Vein Sarach Lomer Dayan Onasi Shelo Yehei Elam Yisrael. So it sounds against Rav Moshe's Vart when it comes to the Ger. But Rav Moshe's Vart might be more true when it comes to an Isha. Meaning, if you look at the Lashon of the Rambam, when he describes the Ger, he describes that they shouldn't be a Dayan, they shouldn't be a Nasi, that they shouldn't be appointed. It's not about only doing the appointment, it sounds like even just being in that position. When it comes to an Isha, it's a Ma'amidin, a Mimanim. So it's about the Maisa. That's what it seems to be the case. And this may relate to Devorah, as we said before, that the Rishonim are all bothered how Devorah could become a Shofetes, right? If a woman is not allowed to be appointed to a position of Sarah. So Tosfos Mabakama Daf Tezvav tells us that maybe they were mekabel her as someone who's in charge because of the Shechina. That again, like Tosfos over here says in Yevamos, that Al Pi Adibur Shaini in Maseches Gittin Daf Pei Chesam Beis and in Shavuos Chaf Tesam Beis Tosfos says that it could be that she wasn't really judging. It says she was a Shofetes. It could mean she was a law professor. She taught other people how to judge, but not that she was actually judging. Okay, it's not what it sounds like, but it could be like there was like a, you know, sort of a dummy judge set up, and like people would come in front of the judge, and Devorah would whisper, Chayev Butter, and the judge would say, Chayev Butter, you know, like that kind of thing, that she was just telling other people how to judge. The Rashba, Maseches Shavuos in the Flamed Amud Aleph, says that it could be Yesh Lomar that she wasn't Diana, she was Manheges, like the Shoftim Sheshaftos Yisrael, that she wasn't a judge, she was a leader. Just like the Shoftim in Sefer Shoftim, it's not all about them being judges. The Sefer Shoftim is all about the leaders of Klal Yisrael. It was before you ever learned Sefer Shoftim, the Navi keeps on highlighting, it was before there was such a thing as a Melech B'Yisrael. Right? Melech B'Yisrael came later on. In fact, all the stories in Sefer Shoftim are crazy, right? Meaning they're wild. The Pilegish Begiva, right? It takes some random lady and chop her up into pieces and send her to all the Shvatim. Like, these are nutty, nutty stories that go on in Sefer Shoftim. So Pashtus is that the Navi is trying to paint a picture to us of what life is like when you don't have proper leadership. And therefore, that's an introduction to Sefer Shmuel, where we needed to have a Melech. And Klal Yisrael asked for a Melech, and we finally got a Melech. But the Shoftim were not serving as judges, says Rashba, they were serving as leaders. Som Tosim Alecha Melech Velo Malka. There is a halacha in the Gemara based on the pasuk that a woman cannot be a Malka. That says Rashba. No, they didn't appoint her. They were just knowing her kedin malka, and that's how they were knowing alpiha. They would follow whatever instruction she gave as if she was a malka, even though she wasn't actually a malka. Whoa, so that's a very different kind of answer. That's much more like Rav Moshe was saying about the ger, that there's an issue in the minoi. But if there's no minoi and she just happens to step into that position, then it's perfectly okay. So again, to quickly review, what do we have over here? What does it say in the Gemara about a ger? That a ger is not allowed to what? What positions is a ger not allowed to hold? No, what did we say? A diet? Well, certainly a melech, right? Mikere v'checha, it's tas melech a melech. And the Gemara was explicit that also applies to any other position of Sarada, right? That was our Gemara. Our Gemara said that the reason, what was his name? Rami Barachel was allowed to be in a position because he wasn't really a ger. But the implication, and the position in question wasn't melech, it was some other position. Right, so you see clearly in the Gemara that as far as a ger is concerned, he's not allowed to be in any position of Sarada. In the Gemara, what do you see about a woman? Samtas malacha melech v'lo malka. The Gemara dashes. So she's not allowed to be a queen. Queen meaning she could be married to a king, but she's not allowed to be the king. And it's just the English word for female monarch is queen, right? So she's not allowed to be the monarch. She's not allowed to be the Malka. But it doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara that she's not allowed to take on other positions of Sarada. But the Rambam says it. Now, it's unclear where the Rambam got that from, that all positions of Sarada are off limits to women, but the Rambam puts them back-to-back halachos, and the impression you get from the Lashon of the Rambam is that they might have different gedarim. Because when the Rambam talks about a ger, he doesn't only talk about don't appoint a ger, he says the ger should not be a dayan, should not be in any position of Sarada. When he talks about a woman, it's ein ma'amidin, ein mimanin, that you're not supposed to appoint. Oh, we'll get to that. So, being done, Ger Chavero, we'll get to that as well. So, this idea that the Isser is only in doing the appointment, but in stepping into it would not be an Isser, at least as far as a woman is concerned, is already suggested by the Minchas Chinuch Mitzvah Tav Tzadi Zayin in a completely different context. Minchas Chinuch discusses the following. He quotes in Nadav Yehuda. Nadav Yehuda of Yechaska Landau, chief rabbi of Prague, very good. So Nadav Yehuda is Mechadesh, that what if a king dies and he only has a daughter, he doesn't have any sons. So can the daughter become a melech, malka? So says Nadav Yehuda, probably. Som tas melech a melech v'lo malka. There's an issue of doing the appointment of a melech, of a malka, but there's no issue of stepping into the position. And it could be that if it goes down to Yerusha, then it wouldn't be a problem. It's quite a chiddush, but that's what the Nadav Yehuda says. That you can't appoint a woman to be melech, some tos melech melech, as all understood to be melech v'lo malka. But Minchas Chinuch suggests, based on that Nadav Yehuda, that if a king dies and he has no sons, maybe his daughter can inherit the throne as long as she's not appointed to the throne. Rav Sternbach fundamentally agrees with Rav Moshe. about a ger being a Rosh Hashiva, going back to that topic. In Rav Shurmach and the Tshuva, in Tshuva Sanagel Schel Gimel Sim Shinhei, writes, Ubenidon didon neshalti in ger yachol lios Rambi Yeshiva. So I've been asked whether a ger could be a Rambi Yeshiva. V'nir Hashem Mutter. She ikur isru b'srara dafke. He says, I think it's mutter, because the isra is specifically with srara. Avol Rambi Yeshiva ino srara. How do people get appointed to positions in yeshiva, to rabbi in yeshiva? Usually it's because they're a Talmud Chacham, they deserve it. It's not something that goes down in the family. Ooh, that's very charitable of Rosh Shurmach to assume that way. Is it just a coincidence that every Rosh Yeshiva in the history of Brisk is called Salvechik? And every, if you're not related, in pretty much every yeshiva. No problem. That pretty much every yeshiva works like that. So that's the except for YU. YU doesn't work. Even though now also, they all deserve it. Whoever's family members, yeah.
This probably be like my own speculation, but what would be a possible distinction between the minoy and the actual being? It's either fundamentally problematic or it's not. So either you're involved in
especially if you're going to be mechalel between a ger and an isha.
Yeah.
Right?
Meaning
that. So it could be that if you're going to be mechalel between a ger and an isha, that by a ger it's fundamentally problematic, right? By an isha it could be a kavod tzibur issue, that for us to do that appointment is like a public acknowledgement that we couldn't find, meaning similar to like the dinim of kavod tzibur you have of an isha leading halal or zimun and things like that, right? That it's a kavod tzibur issue, even though technically.
Wouldn't the being, like, let's say in the case of another Yehuda mentioned, and that would also be, meaning you had to be so mechan Yerusha because you couldn't find a man that was worthy of being the Melech?
No, because Malchus goes down to Yerusha. So it wasn't a choice that was made, it just happened. But maybe to make that choice, to make that active choice, is a lack of Kavanat Tzibur. Maybe. I don't know. It's something to think about. So Rav Shurmach talks about the Rosh Yeshiva issue, and he says it's mutter, because the Isser is Besrara, but he says the Rambi Yeshiva, it's not Srara. And he says, V'chein Lios Rav. He says, what's the purpose of a rabbi nowadays? This is like a very important question, right? This is the question we struggle with in Yayus Micha, right? What is the most important job of a... They say, what was the Maisa that they asked three Gedolim what the function of a Rav was, right? I think it was of Chaim Brisker. You know this Maisa?
The punchline, I don't know.
But each one said like their thing. Like one of them said, the purpose of Rav is to be a Baal Chesed, that he has to coordinate all the Chesed in the community. The other one said, I think it was Rav Yitzchak Elchanan said, the purpose of Rav is to be a Posek. He's got a Paskin, all the Shilas of the community. And I forgot who the third one said, the purpose of the Rav is to be Melamed Torah. He has to be a teacher. That's the purpose. So they're all purposes of a Rav, right? You've got to be able to do all of those things. But Rav Shurmach says that it's primarily lahoros. It's primarily to paskin. Paskining is not a srara. Paskining is revealing what the halacha is and using your judgment to figure out what the halacha is. Rav Shachter said that when it came up initially in Yayus Micha, whether they should allow a ger to attend the smicha program, Rav Salvechik immediately brought the raya from Tosos and Kiddushin, which deals with the statement of Kashin Gerim Lisol Kasapachas, and quoted Rabbi Avraham Ager. So obviously he had smicha. Mainly you see that a ger is allowed to have smicha. That's what that's what Rav Shachter said. Rav Salvechik said right away. Now, as far as being a dayon in general, Tosos Libra Masal Kivan asks that it seems from our Gemara that a ger is not allowed to be a dayan, but in Sanhedrin Lamed Vav it says Hakol Ksheim Ladun, including the ger, which implies that even though Ein Imam Yisrael he was Megayer, that he's Kosher Ladun. So it's a steer in two sugyos whether a ger is allowed to be a dayan. So Tosos answers. Who mentioned this before? Shmuel mentioned this. So Tosos answers the Hasa Mari Ladun Ger Chaveiro Kedam Parag Mitzvah Chalitza. That in later in Yevamos Daf Kuf Beis it tells us that you're allowed to be done ger chavero, ger done as chavero. That a ger could be a dayon for another ger, Dvar Torah, on a Darais level. V'mayisim. But if he's a native Jew, if his mother was Jewish, then he's allowed to be a judge for anybody, even for a Jew. Wow. So that's that. So it's not that a ger can't be a dayon. Srara means you can't be a srara over somebody who has a higher yichus. But being a dayan is a srara only for those who you are a dayan on. So if you're just dealing with cases that involve ger chavero, that's not a violation of Svara, because it's not fundamentally that he can't take any authority. Meaning, Rav Soloveitchik held that a woman cannot be the president of a shul. Right? That was Yadua, that was Rav Soloveitchik's psak. Every shul that has a woman president, the rabbi is a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik. Good kasha. Okay. Rav Soloveitchik held that it's also for a woman to be a president of a shul. Right? So is a woman not allowed to be president of the sisterhood? I mean, that's ridiculous. You have the sisterhood is all made up of women, and then there's going to be some guy, that's going to be the president of the sisterhood. That's ridiculous. No, a woman is allowed to be the president of the sisterhood. Why? Because it's with other women. It's not with somebody else in a different place in the community. So that's the idea of a ger as well, says Tosfos. Rav Shechter in Sefer Ginas Egos writes. Veriisi b'sefer Shalmi Shmuel shediak milshon l'shul Rashi kedushin samach beis the ger tzaruch shlosha mishpach siv bei that Rashi writes gimel Yisraelim v'lo gerim says sha'af shel das Rashi ger donas chaveru ager afilu b'dinei nefashos, even though Rashi holds ger donas chaveru ger is not only in dinei mominus cases, even in dinei nefashos, when it comes to a beis din of gerus, a ger is not allowed to be a dayan. On a beis din of gerus. No, why not? I thought a ger is allowed to be done ger chavero. And if you hold that, that's not just a din and din in mamnus like Tosis, but you're like Rashi, that's a din and din in nefashos, what would be the problem? Why would a ger not be allowed to serve in a beis din of gerus? Isn't that being done ger chavero? So, no, what do you think? So, Shachter points out, yeah?
Could you say, no.
It's even better. I can for sure be David. The Ger could be done Ger Chaveru. Could for sure be done in Nachri. So Rav Shechter points out that Bezin of Gerus is not a Din Torah in the classical sense. Meaning, you're not being done the Ger. You're being done Klal Yisrael. Whether this person is now allowed to join into Klal. Meaning, like we were talking about yesterday from Salvation. It's not that Gerus is a personal decision only that I want to serve Hashem in this way, and therefore this is going to be my connection to Hashem. No, Gerus fundamentally is we are now expanding Klal Yisrael. That the group of Klal Yisrael is now expanding, and therefore it's a din on Klal Yisrael. It's not just a din on the Ger himself. Rav Yashiv in his Ha'aros to Kiddush Ayin Vav says, "Achein Nira Dilin LeGayer Sagerim to Binim Fei Shlosha As Pasul Dayin Shu Ger." Umishum de etzem kabbalas ha-geirim zenechshav shedones Yisrael tarezeu nidol nachnes geirim el kahal Hashem. Rav Yashiv came up with the same idea that Rav Soloveitchik did, that when you're done ger chavero, you're being done klal Yisrael v'nechshav shedon bazeh es klalus kahal Hashem v'zenechshav shedones Yisrael kein nir pashut b'smara. Rav Yashiv says dover pashut. Rav Shechter points out that there's a more pashut answer. When we talk about a ger being done, ger chaveru, give me a case. What's the case? Two gerim come into court, and what are they fighting about? No, give me a case. Any case. What do people come to Bezin about?
Money.
Money, okay, they're fighting about money. This one says, he stole from me. Give me a number.
$100.
The other one's saying, I absolutely not. I didn't steal $100 from him. So then the ger is going to say, you have to pay you $100. Is that what happens by a gerus? Is he being mechayev the ger in something? Is he imposing something on the ger? Ger comes to me and says, I want to convert. So we throw him in a mikvah, and we give him a milah, and we say, shkayach, mazel tov, and we have a lechayev with him, and we do a little rikud. Right? That's the whole thing, right? Where's the din? Where's the din? There's no din on the ger. It's just that in order to make the gerus work, you need a beis din to be there. Meaning, you're familiar with the concept of edus l'birur adavar and edus l'kiyum adavar? Or the concept of shtar l'birur adavar and shtar l'kiyum adavar? Meaning, there's a concept of edus. Let me, in case you're not familiar, let me just say it quickly. Reuven kills Shimon. Two edim see it. What's the function of those edim? To verify what happened. I don't know that Reuven killed Shimon until Aiden came and told me that Reuven killed Shimon. Let's say I knew that Reuven killed Shimon. So I don't need Aiden. Or let's say, forget about killing. Let's say Dini Mabinus. Reuven owes Shimon $100. because two Edim say so. Let's say I know that Reuven owes Shimon $100. Do I need two Edim? I wouldn't need two Edim. The Edim are just there, Labira Dover. They're just there to clarify what actually happened. But imagine a guy goes over to a girl and he gives her a ring and he says, all right, but there were no Edim present. But someone got it on video. The guy was doing a selfie the whole time, right? He was taking a video and he goes over to his girlfriend in the summer program in wherever. Right, and he gives her a ring, and it goes viral on TikTok or whatever. So everyone saw it. Okay, anyone watch TikTok? It's possible ladies, but let's say two kosher Edom saw it. So does that make it now that they're married? No, because you can't be married unless there are Edom present. It's not that Edom are there to clarify did he or didn't he. Everyone knows that he did. Everyone saw it. That it doesn't exist. It doesn't happen without Edom. Edim are create the chalos. It makes it happen. It makes the marriage a meaningful marriage, the wedding ceremony a meaningful ceremony. Otherwise, it's nothing. It's not about a fact, did it or didn't it, or didn't it happen. That's Edus Lebirur Hadavar, is when we need the Edim just to tell me what happened. And Edus Lekim Hadavar, you just need Edim there in order to make a certain chalos happen. You have it by Shtaros as well. Sometimes the shtar is in order to clarify. I don't know whether this guy owes that guy money, so the shtar says, this guy owes that guy money. When you give a get, it's to clarify. To clarify what? No, it's what makes them divorced. You can't be divorced without giving the get. It's not to clarify that something else happened. That is what makes them divorced. So you have such a concept in Beis Din also. Most often, Beis Din is Labir Adavar. They're there to clarify what happened. They're there to clarify what the Psak Halacha is. Like, there's a Din Torah here. Somebody is right, somebody's wrong. How do I know who's right, who's wrong? Beis Din's going to tell me who's right, who's wrong, what the Torah HaKadosh has to say about it. Right? That's Beis Din's job. But sometimes you need Beis Din. Let's say when Beis Din, the first mission of Sanhedrin says you need a Beis Din to be Mosif Ali Irva Azaros. That if you want to expand the city limits of Yerushalayim, or you want to expand the Kedush Saretz Yisrael, so you need Beis Din. So it's a Psak Halacha? Where are they studying whether they should expand it or not? It's not Psak Halacha. It's just as representatives of Klal Yisrael. You need them there in order to make this happen. So Geirus is not a Psak Halacha. Geirus is, you can't have a Geirus without a Beis Din. The presence of the Beis Din is not to paskin or clarify, did they, didn't they, will they, what does the Torah say? No, the Beis Din is there because you can't be a Geirus without a Beis Din. That has nothing to do with Srara. Srara means that I'm telling you that you have to pay you, that you're going to be punished, that you're going to have this. But that's not the role of Beis Din and Geirus. The role of Beis Din and Geirus is just to be there as a Beis Din. And it could be that what Beis Din therefore represents is the Shechina. Meaning Beis Din represents the Hashras HaShechina that's needed in order to bring someone Tachas Kanfei HaShechina. And it could be from that level a Ger is disqualified. Rav Shachter pointed out like this. He said it very nicely. He quoted from Yeshua Kutna as follows. You can ask two fundamental questions about how we learn Hilchos Gerus from Maimon Har Sinai. One, first of all, we don't find a Beis Din at Maimon Har Sinai. So how could there have been a Geirus of Maimon Har Sinai? We're going to discuss next week, where do we see Tevila at Maimon Har Sinai? Where do we see Mila at Maimon Har Sinai? No Beis Din at Maimon Har Sinai. No mention anywhere of any Beis Din at Maimon Har Sinai. How is there a Geirus? Second of all, the concept of Geirus is like a Krisas Bris. It's agreement between this particular candidate and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Maimon Har Sinai, there was Hashras HaShechina on one side, there was Knesset Yisrael on the other side, so good, so there was a Krisas Bris, there was a two parties came together. Why don't we say that that's a Din L'Doros, that you can't accept Gerim unless there's Hashras HaShechina? So says Rav Shachter, the two questions answer each other. At Maimon Har Sinai, there was Hashras HaShechina, and both parties were present. And that's precisely why a Beis Din is needed, that Gerus. Beis Din represents the side of the Shechina. L'doros, you need the Beis Din to represent the Shechina, because we can't just call the Shechina down whenever we want to. Elokim nitzav ba'adas kel. Yeshiva's Beis Din is the sense of Hashras HaShechina. So that's how Rav Shachter suggests, that why it is that a Ger cannot serve on a Beis Din L'Giur, even though a Ger is done Ger Chaveiro. Ger done Ger Chaveiro is about a Srara, that he could be a Srara over Ger Chaveiro. But over here, it's about representing the side of the Shechina. And it could be that for whatever reason, a Ger is disqualified from that particular position of representing the Shechina. Okay, what we didn't get a chance to talk about, I don't want to go full out, but what we didn't get a chance to talk about is where the Rambam got his idea that women are included in all different, that there's an issue for women in all different kinds of struggles. We're not going to get to it. That's not really our topic for this summer anyway. Tomorrow is Friday, so tomorrow, do we have people lined up for Chazar Shirim yet?
I was going to check after this, but no one has offered themselves.
You should put Caleb in charge of finding guys.
Oh, yeah.
We'll find 10 minutes Allah Hashirim to show that they have to do it. Okay, so we'll figure out. There will be Parshas here tomorrow morning, right? Instead of 10 minutes Allah. Is that what we normally do? Yeah. And I guess Sunday will be our next regular Iyun Shir, Sunday morning. The President, Bez Hashem, President Berman, will speak here, will give us a Shir a little bit later this morning. So now just have morning Seder. Okay. Have a good day, everybody.